You know, this morning, as we were listening to prayer needs this morning, we got an example of some of the things that some people are going through. And I'm sure that every one of us here this morning, if I was to ask you to raise your hands, somebody in this room, or everyone in this room, is probably dealing with a battle of some kind. It could be your health. It could be your health, or it could be maybe a family issue. Or maybe it's a relationship that you're going through. Or it could be work-related. Or maybe it's finances. And I'm sure that we could probably add to these this list of so-called battles that we deal with, and sometimes on a daily basis, okay? But the thing is, we see them here in the natural, okay? But guess what? Those battles actually start in the spirit realm. Now, there's a book that's written by Joyce Myers. It's called Battlefield of the Mind. And that's the thing. We have to realize that the battle is actually up here. We might say it's here a lot of times because that person hurt me and my feelings are hurt. So, you know, it might be an emotional battle that you're dealing with. I can't seem to let go of that. I can't seem to forgive that person. But again, it comes back to it's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. And you say, well, Pastor Bonnie, why do you bring that up? Well, remember me telling you a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about this actually at fellowship last week, that, you know, what we see, when we look at each other, we can see each other. We see it as a real thing. But do you realize that the spirit realm is more real than what you and I see right now? The spirit realm is more real than what we see right now in the natural. How many times have I heard reports of near-death experiences where somebody has said, you know what, when I was on earth, I thought things were real then. They ain't nothing real as compared to when you're in the spirit realm. It is so real, it's more real than what we see in the natural. I've heard that time and time again. So this morning, we're going to talk about the epic Bible stories in the Old Testament that take place when God fights our battles. Again, it has to take place spiritually before it can take place naturally. Okay? Now, the thing about this is, and if you don't take anything else out of this, take this with you. Write this down if you can. Is when I talk about these stories this morning, these experiences in the Old Testament, you're going to hear scripture. You're going to hear me read scripture. Well, these scriptures aren't there just to fill the page. Those scriptures are there for us to use as ammunition to fight off the things that are going on in our lives. Not just in the natural, but in the spirit realm. That's where the changes take place. That's where the victories begin. It's in the spirit realm. So therefore, God is the Word. The Word is God. God is what? Spirit. Therefore, the Word of God is what we're going to use to move that mountain. It's the Word of God that's going to give us the victory in the battle. So, let's start with the book of Exodus, where the first battle really takes place. When God brought the Israelites from Egypt, out of Egypt and out of slavery. Now, God knew these Israelites weren't what we want to call battle ready. They weren't battle ready. Therefore, he led them the long way around to the promised land. Because why? He did not want them to deal with the Philistines. Okay? So he brings them to the Red Sea. God delivers a victory in this Red Sea experience. But the thing is, God factors in the state of mind of the Israelites. And when we have a battle going on, God also does the same thing with us. He factors in our state of mind. Are they fighting this battle physically? Or are they fighting this battle spiritually? Where is their faith level at? Are they overwhelmed by this battle? See, God looks at all of these different things that are going on. That's what you call a personable God. So today, when I give you these examples, I'm going to give you lesson number one. It says, God sees what we do not see. Because sometimes when we when we make a decision, we want to step out in it. God says, no, I don't want you to go that direction. Because God sees what's beyond that. So he stops us from going that direction. So, again, I want to share this story about a Bible teacher who once said, sooner or later, God will bring self-sufficient people to a place where they have no resources but him. That's what God does. Because when pride enters in and they think they can do it or fix it themselves, that's pride. So God says, again, those people that are self-sufficient people to a place where they have no resource but him, no strength, no answer, nothing but him. Without God's help, they know, I'm sunk. I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. I don't know to go to the right, to the left. I don't know whether to go straight. I don't know to go if I should go back. I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. Then he goes on and shares the story, this Bible teacher. He talks about a man who's despaired and confesses to his pastor. He says, my life is in really, really, really bad shape. And the pastor asks him, he goes, well, how bad is it? The man buries his head in his hands, and this is what he says. All I've got left is God. Now, the pastor's face lit up. And this is what he says, I'm happy to assure you that a person with nothing left but God has more than enough to get a great victory. And that's what we have to do. That's what I meant when I talked about having a mindset. We have a God who can give us a victory. So here's Moses and the Israelites. They arrive at the shores of the Red Sea. And of course, who's following them? The Egyptian army. They're on their pursuit. But again, here's lesson number two. When we find our backs up against the wall and all it seems lost, crying out to God is the right thing to do. So what happens? Moses does this in Exodus 14. He says, do not be afraid, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you, and you must hold your peace. So when we get in a situation, we're in a battle where we don't know. We're just standing there and we're just at a loss. What are we supposed to do? We're to stop, number one. Number two, we're to be still. And then as Cheryl and I were praying this morning, she's going through things, I'm going through things, every one of us is going through things. Sometimes I've come into this church and I've literally walked down this aisle, I've got on my knees, and what I had in my hands, I laid right here. But yet, we have to tell ourselves, now I'm not picking that up when I leave. I'm leaving that there. I'm putting it at the foot of Jesus, and that's where it's going to stay. But a lot of times, what we try to do is we get our eyes off God, off the spiritual part of it, and we get our eyes back onto the natural, and we see it in the natural, and we want to go and say, well, wait a minute. I think I can deal with this. I'll be back. Maybe if I can't, then I'm going to take it with me now. But no, we're supposed to leave it there. And that's one of the hardest things that we have to do, is leaving it there at the foot of the cross. So, Moses, he didn't have a clue as what God was going to do when they got to the Red Sea. But listen to this. God didn't move the Red Sea out of the way. God made a way through the Red Sea. I say this morning because sometimes you want that battle to be moved out of the way. And yet God is saying, no, 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 no. I want you to walk through it. And I'm going to walk through it with you. You're not doing this on your own. I'm with you. I've got your back. I've gone before you on this already. I know how it ends up. But you have to trust me in it. I don't want to remove the Red Sea. I want you to walk through the Red Sea. But why, God? Why? It would be so much easier if you just got rid of the problem. But God says no. Because why? He wants us to trust him.
He wants us to have faith in Him. He wants us to be encouraged, to have the courage to step out and know that He is with us.
So, as Moses, let's do lesson number three. It says, some battles are fought by standing firm in faith and resting in His peace. And that's the other thing. It's not just trusting and having our faith level go up maybe a couple of more notches. It's resting in Him. That's where we find that peace. That's when we get that peace, knowing that He's got this covered. So, as Moses and the Israelites, they arrived at the Red Sea. God instructs Moses to lift up his hands. And what happens? There's a parting of the Red Sea. Now, once they get on the other side safely, the Israelites, what does God do? As the Egyptians are in hot pursuit of them, God waits till the Egyptians are in the sea. And then He allows the sea to close back up again. And all of these men, this army, were destroyed. So, God is displaying in this situation His power to the Israelites. He's helping bring up their faith level a little bit. But the thing is, they had to trust that God was going to use Moses as in the way that He did. But, you know, that you're so busy looking in the natural. But at that point, the Israelites realized, we got no place to go. We're up against the wall here. Lesson number four. Just after they get across to the other side of the Red Sea, what happens? Music breaks out. They're singing and they're praising and they're thanking God for the victory. And that's what we have to do. We can't say, oh, well, that's problem solved. Let's move on. No, we need to stop and take that time and lift our hands and say, Lord, thank You. Thank You for what You did. Thank You that You made a way where there seemed to be no way. That's like one of our kids. If we keep giving them stuff and giving them stuff and they don't even thank You for it, it kind of hurts our feelings. Don't you think God's maybe feels a little disappointed over the fact that we don't take that time to celebrate our victory that He gave us and show Him our gratitude? Show Him that we praise and worship Him because He made it possible? Let's go on to the Battle of Jericho. Now, for 40 years, the Israelites are what? Traveling through the wilderness. But now they've come. Now they are allowed to come into the Promised Land in Canaan. God transfers the power that was once Moses, and it was given to Joseph because Moses dies, and they bring him into the Promised Land. But the thing is, they had many armies to conquer in Canaan, and the first one being the stronghold of Jericho. Now, the thing is, when they went into Jericho, God gave them specific instructions. He says, if you follow My instructions exactly the way I tell you to do it, you will have the victory. Now, look at the walls of Jericho. Now, I've done some study on that, and they're not just inches deep, they're feet deep. And, you know, some of these walls were almost in the natural impossible to get through. But what does God tell them? He tells Joshua, tell the people to march around the walls of Jericho one time every day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, you blow the ram's horn and see what I will do. And what happens? Sure enough, those walls come tumbling down. But you see, they were not looking in the natural. They were looking at what God could do because God is what? Spirit. And again, things are going to happen in the spirit realm before they're going to happen in the natural realm. So lesson number five, it did not seem possible to take over such a fortified city by walking and blowing horns, but by following this strange military maneuver. And that's what God does. Sometimes he'll have us do stuff, and you're going like, you want me to do what? That looks stupid. Or that sounds stupid. Or that's not going to work. But the thing is, even though it looks that way to us, seems that way to us, and will not work, as far as we're concerned, if we trust God in it, we're going to see the victory. The great thing is, it was a test of the Israelites' faith, obedience, and courage. And that's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. That sometimes when we want that battle to be just simply removed and out of the picture altogether, God is saying, no. I've got to have you walk through this. You've got to walk through this battle. Because why? Because I want to have your faith mature. I want you to be obedient. And I want to give you courage. Through all these things comes what? Trust. Trust in God. So, let's go to David and Goliath. All of us know about Goliath, who keeps taunting and taunting for 40 days Israel to come out and have somebody come and fight him. Here's David. He's been instructed by his dad to bring food to his older brothers. And David volunteers to fight Goliath. Look at this. David, when he goes before Goliath, what comes out of his mouth? What comes out of his mouth is, oh man, that guy is big. Hey, if you want to look at the size of Goliath, go out in the fellowship hall. Russell's got it up on the wall there. That's probably about the height of what Goliath looked like, height-wise. So to give you some visual, in the natural of what David was looking at. And it wasn't like this, or this, or this. It was this. That's in the natural. The thing David did when he could have very easily allowed the natural to take over, he speaks out of his mouth nothing but what God did do and what God is doing and what God is going to do. That's all David did. He says, he saved my sheep from the lions and the bears. Therefore, I am certain that God will help me win this battle over the giant. So what we need to do is we need to stop when we're in a battle. Another thing that we can do, we're in a battle. We need to stop and say, okay, remember that time when this happened and I didn't think there was any hope this was going to work out? And look what God did. God took care of that. So what we need to do is do a preview of some of the things that God has already done for us. That's what David did right there. He was doing a little preview of what God had already done, which helped bring up his courage, helped bring up his faith, helped bring up all that he needed. Sometimes that's what we need to hear when Cheryl's fighting something. She needs to hear somebody that's going through what she's going through and know that they got on the other side of it. She needs that encouragement. All of us need that. Lesson number 6. Don't let circumstances or criticisms or circumstances or your age or your ability discourage you. We're not to let our age or our abilities or lack of abilities discourage us. We need to remember our past battles that were won with God's help. Don't let the fact that I can't do it anymore. I'm getting up there in years. I can't do it anymore. And the great thing is, David, before he even won the victory of Goliath, what did he do? He gave glory and honor to God. He didn't wait till after the fact of winning the victory. He gave glory to God before the victory. And that's what we do have to do. We need to speak forth the glory and the honor of God before we even go through that battle, as we're looking at the battle that we're going through. Lastly, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it talks about King Jehoshaphat. He was a king for 25 years. And guess what? The people enjoyed him as king because why? They prospered and they had peace during that time that Jehoshaphat was there. But then one day, a bunch of guys that, you know, were, you know, under him came to him and said, hey, we've got, excuse me, three kingdoms that want to come here and attack you all at the same time. Now, Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat could have said, oh no, we're outmanned and we are outnumbered. There's no way. No, he didn't speak that out of his mouth. He did not speak that out of his mouth. What did he do? He didn't go to his generals. What did he do? King Jehoshaphat called for prayer and he called for fasting. And he was seeking God. How many of us, and I'm as just as much as fault, I'll be one of the first ones to say it. I'll get on the phone and call my daughter and say, do you know this is going on? No, you don't call them, that you call him first. But we find ourselves wanting to, you know, yeah, our family needs to know. But the first person or the first one that we need to contact is him. Because why? Because it's in the spiritual realm that is where it first takes place. And he's the one that's going to get the job done. He's the one that's already gone before us. He's the one that already knows how it's all going to turn out. Isn't that the one you want to go to? And the thing that King Jehoshaphat said, he had put his priorities in order by saying what he did. He first, again, said, we're going to pray, we're going to fast, and we're going to seek God. And this is what he says to his people. He says, don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, because the battle is not yours. It is God's. 1 Chronicles 20:15-17. Position yourself to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. That's what King Jehoshaphat told the people. That same God that was fighting for Jehoshaphat and the Israelites is the same God that fights for us. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. But guess what? I love this part. This is the best part of it. When King Jehoshaphat tells the people this, speaks this over them, they step out and they do what God told them to do. When Jehoshaphat and his army showed up to meet the army, they put their worship team out front. That's what we're supposed to do. We're to worship God first and foremost. But see, that's the thing. Satan wants us to be so overwhelmed by what's going on in the natural, the last thing we think about is, all I can do now is pray to God. That's all that's left to do. There's nothing else more I can do, so just pray to God. No, we're supposed to praise God. That's what we're supposed to do. Go in front of the battle. Isn't that what he said? The Bible says that they began to sing and praise the Lord. The enemy started fighting amongst themselves. These three armies, these three kingdoms started fighting. The confusion became upon their camp. And they were fighting each other and they killed each other off. These three kingdoms, they killed each other off. And the great thing from this, because they trusted God in this, they got to take home the plunder, the spoils from all of these three kingdoms. It took them 3 days for this army to haul all that stuff back to their camp. 3 days. What I'm saying when I tell you that is when we allow God to step into our battle, to go before us, and say, I don't know what it's, you know, I don't know how this is going to turn out, God, but I'm going to let you go before me. And I'm going to be still until you tell me to move. I'm going to have peace. And I'm going to trust in you. And God says, you know, because you've done that, you know what? I'm going to bless you. Isn't that what he did to Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat and the Israelites? Because they trusted him, they were blessed. God blessed them with the spoils of these three kingdoms. That's what we can have. We can have the blessings of God. Now, I'm not saying so much that it might not be a material thing. What I'm saying is maybe you've been fighting a physical battle and you need a healing.
Isn't that a blessing? That would be a blessing, wouldn't it? Or a salvation of a loved one in your family that you've been praying for decades. And weeks later, you see them come to the Lord. That's worth any amount of material stuff that you could give. I could give you everything in the world, but nothing measures up to the salvation of a loved one. God has a way of giving us the exact blessing that He knows that we need. But what do we have to do? We have to confess what the Word says. Isn't that what Jehoshaphat did? He confessed what God's Word said. Now, when we let God go before us and fight the battle, not only does God win the battle, but again, like I said, it brings His blessings. Now, lesson 8. When our hearts are devoted to God, our response to an impending spiritual battle can look like Jehoshaphat's. In other words, when we seek God, when we praise God, when we pray to God, and we tell Him, I don't know what to do, I'm asking for your guidance. I'm asking for your direction. I'm asking for your peace. I'm asking you, Lord, to sustain me as I go through this battle, because apparently you're not going to remove it. So sustain me. Give me all that I need to get on the other side of this battle. Remember when I mentioned to you earlier, and I'm going to close with this. I mentioned to you earlier that God's Word is our ammunition in the spirit realm. And that's what it is, exactly what it is. It's our ammunition that we can use to fight in the spirit realm. That's what gets Satan's attention. That is the only thing. We can fight him physically and he will browbeat us till we're down and out. But if we use the Word of God, he cannot win. We will have the victory. Lesson 9. We may not have the Word of God coming straight from a prophet's mouth. But guess what we do have? We have the Word of God at our fingertips. We have the Word of God in our phones. I'm constantly on my phone looking scriptures up. Constantly. We have the Word of God at our fingertips 24/7. 7 days a week. All you have to do is go to Google and say, I'm going through fear. Type in fear, scripture. And it'll bring up scripture after scripture of things that you can confess when you're dealing with fear or anxiety or doubt or anger or unforgiveness or loneliness. All we have to do is type in scripture and a word that we're going through. And then scriptures will come to you just like that. We have it at our fingertips. We cannot stand before God someday and say, well, I didn't know we could use the Word of God. Or I didn't know which one to go to. We can't use that, not with technology that we have today. Not even with the fact that we have, you can get a Bible anywhere. People are more than happy to give you Bibles. Therefore, all the wisdom that we need to fight our battle is in His Word. That's all we need is His Word. And it helps what? Again, it helps strengthen us. It helps encourage us. It gives us hope. It brings us peace. It gives us confidence. It gives us boldness. It gives us faith. It gives us healing. It gives us joy. It gives us all that we need. I would like you, if you could, if you have a pen and a piece of paper, and I just want you to write one of these down. I'm going to read these. I was going to have you, everyone, read one of these today, but I'm going to read these. And I want you to write down these, just the book and the chapter. But if there's one that really stands out to you, I'm giving you some homework. I'm giving you some homework for next Sunday. I'm going to give you these scriptures, and I want you to take one of these scriptures, and when you come back next week, I'm going to ask you, which one of these scriptures helped you get through a battle this week? Are you ready? Here we go. Psalms 34:17.
You don't need to write down what I'm going to read. You just need to write that down. Psalms 34:17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. That's one you can use every single day. It's simple to remember. It's a piece of ammunition that you can use when you're fighting that battle. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? That one is one that I've loved for decades. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Isaiah 41:10. A little lengthy. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's God's promise to us. Isaiah 41:10. That's that one. Psalms 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. That's Psalms 27:14. 1 Peter 5:6. 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. So when we're going through a battle and we're saying, Lord, when are you going to lift me up in this situation? He will do it in his due time. Lastly, Deuteronomy 33:37. The eternal God of your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. We will drive out your enemy before you. God is promising us that when we go through a battle, he will drive out the enemy that is before us. That's his promise to us. And when you say these out loud, these scriptures, you're not reminding God. You're not saying, oh, by the way, God, your word said this. He doesn't need to be reminded, but you do. I do. We all need to be reminded of what God promised. He knows all about his promises, and he is faithful in his promises. And he is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And what he said back then to Jehoshaphat, what he said to Joshua, what he said to Moses, what he said to David, holds true for us today. Amen? Let's bow our heads.
Pastor.
Yes.
Thanks for that homework. Can you repeat Romans 8:31?
Yes. Romans 8:31, if God is for you, who can be against you?
How do you know that song? That current popular song? That phrase is in there?
I'll have to listen. I'll pull it up.
Okay.
Because I listen to it a lot.
You gave us a homework?
Yes.
This would be very appreciated by me, and I know everyone else here. Look that out and come prepared to send my book.
Okay. I will look it up. I will look it up. Thank you. And you raise me up, Cheryl. We'll have to do that. We'll have to do a duet on that someday, I think. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father God, you have promised in your word that the battle belongs to you, and we pray that we will stand firm in faith, knowing that you are fighting on our behalf. Father, give us strength, give us courage to face the battles that come before us this week as we go forward. That we do not see with our natural eyes, but that we see with our spiritual eyes and know that you are the ultimate authority. And nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for our closing.